This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, thanks for listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Couple of more hours of me ranting, filling in for Chad Hartman. Well, it's not all ranting, right? It's part ranting. I did rant last week as a frustrated downtown employee in regards to the new parking rules and things going on with the meters. Not so much in regards to the actual price going up. Is this the way that, you know, you got to move your car more now after, was it every 2 hours? And they've expanded the time from some streets where it, you know, you were able to go ahead and park there for free after six. Now that's been expanded to you have to pay for those meters until 10 o'clock. Okay, fine. We went through that last week. Well, one of the things that came up in regards to the conversation last week with the parking meters is chalking people's tires. Well, now that's back in the news. Not just in terms of Minneapolis, but we're talking about nationally. A 3-judge panel took the case up of a young lady by the name of Allison Taylor, a Michigan woman who received 15 parking tickets during a 3-year feud with a single parking officer. Taylor's lawyer argued that the city's physical marking with chalk, done to note how long a vehicle was parked, amounted to searching without a warrant, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. The 6th U.S. Circuit of Court of Appeals, they agreed. All right, it was unanimous. They agreed. The city, quote, commences its search on vehicles that are parked legally without probable cause or even so much as individualized suspicion of wrongdoing, the touchstone of the reasonableness standard, the court's opinion states. So they're saying that when it comes to chalking people's tires, the federal court, they rule money, that's unconstitutional. Now, me and you talked about this off air. And you don't have a problem with if somebody is chalking your tire, okay? I said, and I'm not in disagreement with you. Why wouldn't they just take a picture? Maybe they can't take a picture of your vehicle, but is there other ways to monitor that beyond just the chalking?
Well, there was information last week that they're working on a more high-tech surveillance system that would scan license plates and things like that. To me, though, taking a picture of my car is just as, maybe more invasive
as I can see that.
Chalking the tire. And think about it. The simple fact of chalking a tire is like the easiest, cheapest, lowest tech way to accomplish that. And I don't see, they're saying it's against the unreasonable search and seizure clause in the Constitution. And how is putting an inch chalk line on my tire fit with unusual search and seizure? That doesn't make any sense to me.
And I guess in essence, I've already answered my own question in regards to the taking a picture. Because remember what happened? It was years ago. I want to say, oh, gosh, how many years ago was it now? Maybe 15 years ago. Remember when they had the if you were at the lights and they had if you made a turn, let's say you weren't supposed to turn on red. And then they had, I can't remember what the actual name of the program was, whatever. But it was basically you're on video and it took a picture and it had video of you committing whatever, you know, you were doing and you shouldn't be doing in your car.
And they'd mail you a ticket with a picture of you at the light.
And they mailed a ticket to your home. And I received that.
Oh, really?
I did receive that. And I fought it, and I actually I'm not sure if I had some questions about it, but the point of me bringing this up is they refunded. Remember that was fought, and they refunded all the people that actually paid those fines years ago. So to answer my own question about the photograph part, that's probably goes in line with that.
Yeah, and then if you take a photograph and there's something else wrong,
I don't know if it was
your,
like called RoboCop or something like
yeah,
that.
Something
I can't remember.
Like that.
Yeah,
it just seems problems with taking a photograph, and the chalk thing is so simple and easy, and I don't know why it would be invasive to anyone.
I think we all get a little bit squirrely if we're feeling like this is getting too Big Brotherish.
Yes,
you know, like
yes.
Who's watching us? Why do they care? What you know? When we're feeling uncomfortable or uneasy about that stuff, that's when people get a little squirrely.
Yep.
You know.
Yep, I'm with you. And coming up next, we'll talk about, well, the U of M and the thought process behind serving more alcohol at some of the athletic buildings. But first, here's news with Laura Oaks. Back with you here on News Talk 830 WCCO, 651-989-9226. You can also text the show at 81807. What do you guys think of the U of M and more facilities serving alcohol? And expanded areas in the different arenas. This coming from the news that the Gophers are going to turn to alcohol to boost revenue at Williams and Mariucci arenas. U President Eric Kaler sent a memo to the Board of Regents last week asking the board to permit wine and beer sales to those sitting in general admission at both arenas. Regent approval for the request is necessary before the before all of this can happen. In his memo, he wrote that he strongly supports expanded sales given the intensely competitive sports entertainment market we have in the Twin Cities and the positive results we have experienced with general seating alcohol sales at TCF Bank Stadium. I'm on board with this and would love to get the reaction of those that attend U of M sporting events or just your general thoughts. At 651-989-9226, text the show at 81807. And I approve of it because I think that this has helped at TCF Bank Stadium. I don't think that the expanding the opportunity for people to consume alcohol has negatively affected the experience. Because to me, if you talk about it has negative effects on a person's experience at the stadium or at the arena, then, yeah, you have to take a look at it and say, yeah, not so much. Because money isn't everything, but we know that money means a whole heck of a lot on a college and university campus. If it's not going to be a negative, if people are going to consume and be responsible, then I have absolutely no issue with it. And it goes to what we talked about a little bit over a week ago in regards to the experience at both Mariucci and Williams of them looking at the attendance and saying that they were going to lower ticket prices. And I approved of that also because when it comes to the experience and you supporting the University of Minnesota, and the athletic programs and the teams, and you want to be a fan. What helps with being a fan and what helps overall is that you know that when you spend your hard-earned money, that when you go, you're going to enjoy your time there, win or lose, right? You're going to enjoy your time there. And for certain individuals, when it comes to sporting events, yes. They want to consume an alcoholic beverage. Now, I don't – typically when I go to a sporting event, I don't drink alcohol. That's just me. But when it comes to the revenue, that's a major uptick for these universities when they're able to sell alcoholic beverages. Now, the request for more drink sales is an attempt to address slumping ticket sales and revenue, which we talked about in regards to the attendance being down and they're cutting some of the prices for the season tickets when it comes to men's hockey and men's basketball. I'm on board with this. I think that the University of Minnesota needs to continue with it because this is a trend around the country. Okay, the trend around the country is toward more alcohol sales at college sports venues. That's just the trend. And as long as it is not something that is going to be a stain on the university, as long as it's not going to be something negative, and it's not going to change the atmosphere overall to being something bad, I'm all for it. 651-989-9226. You can also text the show at 81807. I'd have a different opinion of this if I felt like in the last couple of years going to TCF Bank Stadium that things are just out of control. Like, you tailgate, right? People tailgate in the tailgate lots. So when it comes to men's basketball and you go to Williams Arena, yeah, there's nobody tailgating. But if you're going to have wine or you're going to have alcoholic beverages being sold, let's just go ahead and get that revenue in there. And let's have it open in the GA sections. I have no issue with that, none whatsoever. Let's take a phone call from Jerry in Roseville. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, Henry. First of all, do you think it's possible that Warren could be Jalen Myrick's agent?
I don't know.
Okay. No, the way that they've regulated it at TCF Bank, I think, is perfect. It's going to really cut down on any possibility of an underage college kid. I mean, they might be able to slip him a beer or two, but that probably would be about it. And, yeah, anything they can do to increase the attendance at Mariucci, it's really a shame, Henry. Part of it, of course, is getting out of the WCHA and into the Big Ten. That hurt quite a bit. Another big part of it is the corporations that invest in the tickets. More often than not, they're not using them, so it just really looks bad whenever the games are on television. But as far as adding beer and wine to Williams and Mariucci, I certainly don't see any drawbacks or any problems with it.
And Jerry, I think that right now, I think that we're all kind of debating this and looking at it. And I think that 10 years from now, people will say, "Well, what took you so long?" You know, it's almost, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer, because everybody should have concerns, especially when it comes to consuming alcohol. Mm-hmm. But I think that 10 years from now, people will say, "Well, they probably should have done that a couple years earlier."
Right. Also, did I hear right that this was the first year at the Final Four where they sold beer?
Yep. First time ever the NCAA allowed beer and wine sales at the men's basketball Final Four at U.S. Bank Stadium earlier this month.
Boy, isn't that something?
That is something, yep. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Jerry
in
Roseville. Yep. The University of Illinois, they just announced plans to sell beer at some venues, including its football stadium, making the Illini the sixth Big Ten school to do so. A decade ago, beer and wine sales were offered by fewer than a dozen college institutions. Less than a dozen a decade ago. It's the trend, and it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is. But to me, it comes down to what's really the priority when it comes to college athletics. And is it creating an entertainment venue that can create revenue for these universities? Is that the main goal? Or is there a different goal that involves creating a positive educational environment for students? And
it's the first one that you mentioned.
I know. And I think for opponents of this, they would say, "Hey, we can't have alcohol on campuses and it's encouraging drinking." And I agree with that if our main goal in this is to create an environment that's positive for education, and that's the ultimate goal of these universities. But I think the ship has sailed on that. I think clearly that college athletics are way bigger than that, and it's about entertainment and it's about dollars. And
but we're talking about two different things, though. You're talking about the educational realm. We're talking about the athletic environment. We're talking about the actual stadiums. So all they're concerned with is generating dollars to go ahead and put it out there for the educational experience. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that we're talking about two different things, because this is strictly just within the confines and the realm of an athletic event. And let's be honest, dollar signs. And I have stated that even last week when it came to the ticket sales and them being sluggish and them being down, when it comes to how do you sell those extra seats, you know what? Don't be afraid to go ahead and slash some prices, because I would rather people be in the seats at a lower ticket amount than for the seat to just go empty at a higher amount. That makes no sense because it helps us as an experience. Like, Williams Arena, Mariucci, is going to be a lot more fun if it's more people there. That's just the way that I evaluate it. But it goes into what does it come down to? Mm-hmm. Dollars and cents.
That's right. And if the decisions were only being made about, hey, this is an educational institution, our main goal is to teach young people, and if every decision came from that, then I think this would be a no. But clearly, not every decision is based on that, and there's other factors in entertainment and dollars, and this is the way the Gophers, I think, will go, and probably most other schools.
Yep. 651-989-9226. Also, text the show at 81807. Love to get your thoughts, reaction, opinion. Are you on board with this when it comes to the University of Minnesota and its decision to essentially just open it up more in regards to alcohol at college games, specifically when it comes to Mariucci and Williams Arena? We'll take your phone calls. We'll get over, we'll look at your text messages coming up next year on Lake Night and for Chad. All right, welcome back to News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. Before we take a phone call here in just 1 second, we got people texting in regards to the topic of the U of M and the serving of alcohol. 81807, thumbs up on liquor at the U of M. Second text, why not let people have a beer when they're watching their favorite game? They need to sell alcohol at Gopher games. Wow. I don't want to read the second part because, well, they say, how else can we sit and watch poor hockey and other sports? It's kind of negative.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. This one is interesting. This will never happen, nor should it happen. Maybe they should stop televising these games so then people would have to pay to go to a game. That would ruin your college and university if one of the biggest selling points of the U of M and the Big Ten and any institution to get kids from all over the country to want to come see you is that these games are televised. So that wouldn't make any sense at all. But let's take a quick phone call here from Mary in St. Paul. She has an opinion.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just was listening, and I thought it was interesting how you guys are trying to decide whether these sports are for entertainment or whether the university is supposed to be there for educating the youth. And it just seems like we're leaning way towards the entertainment end of things. And if we're going to start having alcohol served and start treating these events like they're professional events, and you know, we're already treating these young athletes as professionals. We elevate them up. We give them all this attention. We criticize them when they're doing poorly. You know, I think it's time that they should be paid. I think that if this is going to be an entertainment venue, then those student athletes should start getting paid.
I agree with you, Mary. I agree with you because when we talk about the advertising dollars, we talk about the revenue that's being pulled in, they should get a piece of the pie.
Absolutely. And I think it's just terrible. But I think they're being treated very poorly over there for what's demanded of them. And if this is going to be a big entertainment venue, then let's start talking about paying those kids.
All right. Thanks to the phone call from Mary. She's put a twist on it. That's a different perspective. She says, hey, you know, I have no issue with the alcohol sales, but if we're going to go that route, then the other conversation that goes in line with that, because we're talking about entertainment, right? We're talking about being entertained and sitting down with our favorite beer or wine or whatever and watching these athletes play. Then let's talk about the revenue and start divvying up that money so that they can get something along with that. Now, there's always going to be those individuals that will say, you know what, they got a scholarship. That's fine. But that does not even equate to when you're talking about the amount of revenue and the amount of dollars that universities are making off Zion and what he did at Duke. I know he's going to be the number one pick. We get that. We understand that. All right. He's earned that. But how much revenue did he create for the NCAA this year and Duke University? It's got to be staggering. It's crazy to think of how much money he raised. All right. Coming up, we will get into today's top headlines. Also, it's the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call us for a free home improvement estimate on windows and insulation. It is 1:32, but we'll get to today's top headlines coming up next year on Late Night. Before we get to today's top headlines with DJ, do you want to mention this text that was sent to the show at 81807? I think you need data that shows how much additional revenue you gain. This is with the topic being U of M and the alcohol. Otherwise, alcohol usually leads to loud and verbally aggressive people. Sit in upper-level Viking seats wouldn't bring my family there. But that was one of the things that I said initially when we were talking about the topic, is that I'm all for this as long as it doesn't make for a bad experience at Mariucci, at Williams Arena. If we're talking about we're going to increase the alcohol consumption in terms of the sales and, you know, being able to, you know, sell more alcohol, and people are getting aggressive and they're getting verbally, we don't want that. I want the environment to be a positive one. You want people to have fun at the game. The one thing that, if you want to say, what is one of the things that agitates you more than anything, it is individuals that go to sporting events and they have way too much to drink and they get out of control. I think in society today, it just as a sports fan, right? As a sports fan, when I'm all for people consuming alcohol, having a drink or possibly two, but handle your liquor. Don't be agitating people at Williams Arena or Mariucci or TCF Bank or whatever. It just, it drives me insane. Like, do people get drunk or hammered before they go to a movie? Do they? Do they get drunk or hammered when they go to a play? There's no need to do it at a sporting event. I just think that the culture people think is, you know what, let's go have some brews and go to the game. You know, me and the guys. Like, that's how we think, right? That's how we're trained to think. That's part of it. It doesn't have to be part of it. You don't have to drink an alcoholic beverage. If you want to have one or two, that's fine. But I don't drink before going to a movie. And I typically don't drink when I'm going to a sporting event, although I have tailgated. I've tailgated multiple times at TCF Bank Stadium.
But like you said, that culture does exist.
Yes.
And this will happen at the University of Minnesota. I'm not saying it'll be the norm, but people will go to those games and get drunk and do dumb things.
I think that there's always going to be those individuals. I don't care what the facility is. I don't care what city. I don't care what state. You're always going to have those individuals that will consume too much alcohol and they just can't handle their liquor. That's just the way it is. Anyway, we'll get to more maybe texts a little bit later here in the show, but right now it's time for today's top headlines.
Yeah, and we'll start with a local story. Governor Walz completes his cabinet today with a chief inclusion officer. This is a position that was created by Governor Dayton. And Chris Taylor is the new chief inclusion officer. He says his job is to address the organizational culture of agencies to eliminate bias in hiring. He comes from the Minnesota Historical Society, where he held that same title.
Well, congratulations to Chris on getting his job. Because you absolutely need to diversify in all different areas of work and in life. And so I applaud this. So, yeah, congratulations to him.
Yeah, and to our governor, who's been in office for around 4 months now, kind of puts the final piece of his team together.
So. Yep. And the quote from Taylor, he says, "My work at the Minnesota Historical Society prepared me to understand not only contemporary issues, but that these issues all have a history and they don't happen in a vacuum."
On the national scene, there's more rumblings of possible impeachment for President Trump. And President Trump is saying that if that moves forward, he will go directly to the Supreme Court, which is very controversial. In 1993, the Supreme Court ruled that impeachment has to go through Congress, not through the Supreme Court. So a little bit of controversy about that today.
Yeah, it sounds like what he wants it to go through, it can't go through because it'll end up going through Congress. So I know that he put that out there, but that's just not how it works.
Well, it seems like he wants his cake and eat it too. I mean, he's appointing people to the Supreme Court and then saying they should be judging him.
That's why he wants it to go through there, and it doesn't work like that.
That's not how our government is built, it seems like.
Yeah, that's not how it works. And then I just think that when it comes to if we want to continue to have this conversation and talk about transparency, because he talks about he's the most transparent press, you can't from one side of your mouth say that you're the most transparent president ever but not release your taxes. And you can't say that you're as transparent as anybody out there. And we have these questions. We have questions about the Mueller report and all this stuff, and we don't have the answers to that. So when it comes to transparency, I think that falls on deaf ears.
I like that. Get you fired up a little bit about some politics.
Well, no, not really. But, you know, I tend to stay away from politics as much as I can. But I just – that part kind of bugs me a little bit. We can't sit here and say that we're transparent, but we don't offer up anything.
In business news, we'll go back to the governor's office. Governor Walz has a new tax plan that's being analyzed and debated, and a survey done by our own Department of Revenue and, you know, in our own state government is showing that the lowest income Minnesotans will be hit the hardest by Governor Walz' new plan. It sounds like the bottom half of income individuals would absorb an average of 9.9% in tax increases.
Well, that sucks, right? That sucks. That doesn't seem that fair.
Yeah, it seems like bad news if you're trying to put something forward that you say will help all Americans and support the middle class, and then your own folks do.
Those are the folks that are getting hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm in agreement with you on that.
Doesn't seem good. And then finally, in entertainment news, the Oscars are in the news. Kind of a weird time for the Oscars to be in the news, but they get together in April to talk about some rules that they might want to change. And one of the bigger things the Oscars has been debating is should material that debuts on Netflix or other streaming services be included? There was no change there, so all of those programs are still eligible to win Oscars. There was also some debate about whether films that don't make a substantial theoretical release can be included, and they also didn't make a move there. So a couple of the big moves that maybe could have affected the Oscars at least did not go through this year.
Because I think a lot of people will look and they'll say, well, if it didn't make it to the box office, then how are we going to have it a part of, you know, the Oscars and everything? Because I'm not somebody that has Netflix. I don't. I've never had Netflix. So we'll see how all this stuff shakes up. But there are people in that one camp that says, if it didn't make it to the box office, why are you going to allow them to win awards?
Yeah, and the reality is in media is that the lines between different areas of media are getting blurred more and more. And that's true with audio and radio and TV and film. And some TV shows are now made and consumed more like movies are. And all these lines are getting blurred. And the people that give out awards are going to have to figure out how to deal with that.
I'm with you. Do you believe in jinxes? Do you believe in jinxes? Some people believe in jinxes, especially when it comes to sports. Something occurred last night that I thought was pretty funny, but it's typical. We've seen it before. We'll discuss it. We'll get to it next year. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. Back with you, Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. Chad Hartman back tomorrow. We're done at 3. Paul and Jordana coming up next. Quick question. I know this has nothing to do with the show, but this is just random. On one of the televisions, we have 4 televisions in here, and one of them is on the talk. The other one is on, this is Rachel. She's cooking. It's her cooking show. You also have, I've never seen this show, whatever show this is. Oh, The Real on Fox 9. And then the other television is on soap operas. Now, I remember some of the soaps back in, the 80s? I mean, they're still around. I'm assuming, look, I don't watch soap operas, but I'm assuming, General Hospital is still around. How much do people watch soaps now? I wonder about that. It's just interesting how, like, that part of society is always, it's always going to be there. The stay-at-home wife is just really into the soaps? Is that who's – I'm who's the audience now for the soaps? Is it the same audience it's always been? Makes me wonder.
Maybe the audience who watches soap operas doesn't admit to anyone that they watch soap operas.
It's still big enough. It has a following. Tons of people that are getting into it. All right, let's get to a few texts before we get to this Jinx thing, too. A few people texting the show. No Netflix and never use Amazon. Do you live under a rock? I do.
That's my favorite text of the day.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty funny. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this one's interesting. Come on. Let me just go ahead and read it. I know that whenever Henry Lake is the host of a radio show, I will always enjoy listening, as Henry is very good at what he does. Okay. I appreciate the compliment, but that's...
Take it.
That's definitely not Jane in Minnetonka. Regarding the stadium alcohol issue, I agree. It's a trend, but not a good one. No question revenue will be increased, but it's a sad commentary when the best way to increase a revenue is to add alcohol. Anytime there is more alcohol, to me, it's a negative. I know of no family in the U.S., USA that does not have at least one family member negatively impacted by consumption of alcohol at some level. Although 90% of the fans might drink responsibly, there will be 10% who do not. I totally see that sentiment. Absolutely. And you know what? I agree. Because we all have family members that are affected, or families that are affected by alcohol in a negative way. And yes, they're always going to be, and we mentioned this, and thanks for the compliment, by the way, from the texter to 81807. But the bottom line is the colleges, universities, they're thinking dollars and cents. Regardless of what we're thinking about it, DJ, they're thinking dollars and cents. So the texter's spot on that maybe it is sad that we have to look at it through the lens of, yeah, we got to add more alcohol because we need to add more revenue. As long as it's not affecting in a negative way our experience, then we're just going to have to do the best that we can and deal with it. When it comes to jinxes, do you believe in jinxes? Some people say absolutely not. Some people actually believe in jinxes. Now, I don't think that Chicago Cubs fans believe in jinxes anymore ever since they won a World Series a few years ago. Now, they're not – they still got good baseball players. They haven't been – I know that they were struggling at the start of this season. But when it comes to jinxes, remember for the longest time, people were talking about the Red Sox not being good. Then they got good. Cubs not being good. Then they got good. Do you believe in jinxes? Oh, let me start right here in this room. DJ, do you believe in jinxes?
I do not believe in jinxes.
I don't either.
But if I go 0-7 in softball using one bat, you bet I'm switching to a different bat. Even if it's got even if it's the same bat.
So you're superstitious, but not, you don't believe in jinxes.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of...
Is there a distinction? A difference?
I mean, it's like if I go on a roller coaster, I'm still scared, even though I know that this roller coaster is safe. Like, there's still a little bit
of... Do you know that?
Yes, roller coasters are very safe. It's very
all
rare.
Of them?
It's very rare that someone gets hurt on a roller coaster, but it's still nerve-wracking when you go on. That's why you do it. And just like that, I don't believe in jinxes, but I might change something up.
You might change something up.
Just in case.
Well, I found this interesting last night. So it was a lot of great sports that you could watch on television. TNT had the Portland Trail Blazers hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder in a game 5. And Damian Lillard, phenomenal shot at the end of the game at the buzzer to win the series. It ended up on the night with 50 points after he knocked down that 3-point shot at the buzzer. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's tweeting about it. I tweeted about it. And then I said to myself, I said, well, hold on. We still got a game 7 going on that's in overtime when it comes to hockey. And it was San Jose facing Vegas. So I turn over to that. I'm watching that. And it's 4-4 in overtime. And then San Jose gets the winning goal. Well, people started to talk about a tweet from a guy at D Tater, A-D-A-T-E-R, Adrian Dater, I think is his name. And he says, per another Twitter handle, Avs game one in Vegas will be Friday night. So he tweeted out at 11:19, okay, 11:19, that the Avs will be playing in Vegas Friday night. While the Vegas Knights, the Golden Knights, are actually playing. And of course, they're done now. It's the same with no-hitters. People will not tweet or mention no-hitters when they're going on, because people think that they'll jinx it. I just find that interesting. All right, coming up next, a CEO has some very strong opinions in regards to air travel. We'll discuss. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.